Last couple of weeks, we have been dealing with the excellence of finances, and I hope that you have been blessed as a result of this sermon series. We talked about ordering our lives financially last week. Today, I want to talk to you about avoiding the devil's snare. We are told that 57% of divorces are over money fights. Now think about that. It's also reported that 50% of friendships dissolve because of money issues. Probably somebody borrowing money from their friend and not paying it back. Debt is the leading cause of gray hair in both men and women. That's what this study says. The leading cause of gray hair. Banks tell us, listen to this number. Banks tell us that 100% of the people that continue to use credit cards stay in debt. 100%. Now, if God's people are in financial bondage, they are not free to serve God. Can I get an amen? Now, we've already kind of talked about this, that debt is not a sin, nor is it a sin to borrow money. But God's word gives us some insight into those principles, and it simply teaches us that it's not wise to get in a lot of debt. Amen? Living in this world, living in this nation, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's very difficult to not accumulate some form of debt. If you own a home, you are indebted to the bank for that loan. The only thing that you really own is the equity in that house. Isn't that right? You don't really own the home until you pay the bank. Same thing applies with a car. And with cars, you don't find equity because it is a depreciating item. You know, so if God's people are in financial bondage, they are not free to serve God. We're going to define that today because I believe it is the devil's snare. And I want to avoid the devil's snare. See, the spirit of mammon is a snare, and we must break free from it. I want to share a couple of interesting passages in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. I want to share those verses with you. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, beginning in verse 12. Listen to this. It says, for man also does not know his time. In other words, when he's going to leave this earth. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, there's our word, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Man, what a statement. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise, spoken quietly, should be heard, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Now, that is teaching us that wisdom is superior to the world's way, to the world system. Do y'all see that? Wisdom is superior to the system in which we live. And it talks about, in verse 12, he talks about a fish taken in a net, birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time. How many of you would agree we are in an evil time? Amen. So we have to beware of the snare. All right, look at what this says in Psalms 119, verse 110. He says, "The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts." The wicked have laid a snare, but I have not strayed from your precepts. In other words, from your word. All right, so his word, the precepts of his word, the principles of his word. The wicked lay a snare, but I am going to stay connected to the principles of your word. See, that's the key right there. All right, so today in talking about avoiding the devil's snare, let's give the definition of snare. The word snare is defined this way: a trap, a net that is hidden, or a pit. Now, I'm sure you've seen in the movies where nets have been laid out on the ground with the intention to catch a wild animal. And, you know, we've seen that if you watch Indiana Jones movies, they catch people, right? You know, a net that is, it's camouflaged, covered with leaves until whatever is intended to be caught unknowingly comes into that snare, because that's what it is. That's the definition of snare. How many of you know the devil is always setting traps? Come on, somebody. Amen. He sets traps because that's what it is. Okay, so what we read in Ecclesiastes, he talked about the fish being caught in a net. Talked about the bird being caught in a snare. Things that are a trap, a net that is hidden, a pit, a snare. I want to avoid the devil's snare. All right, so let's first of all understand the world system. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that in God's economy, it operates by the principle of, who remembers? God's economy operates how? Giving and receiving. The world's economy operates how? Buying and selling. All right, so the world system is buying and selling. That's the world in which we live. All right, consider this. In 1st Epistle of John, chapter 2, we are given some admonition about the world system. And this is what we read. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." All right, in these three verses, we are exhorted to not love this world or the things that are in this world. And then he defines what that entails. It focuses around the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, all of those things we would connect to the satanic entity, the devil, right? Because he's prideful. You know, the Bible says that he fell because of his pride. He was lifted up. He's arrogant. So everything that we read here is connected to his influence. That, my friends, is the world's system. All right, the word world is the Greek word cosmos. It is defined this way: a primary order, an arrangement, an ornament, or an adornment, an ordered system. So the world will try to tell us how to live. Now, as born-again believers, we cannot fall into that snare. Can I get an amen? The world will try to tell you how to think. The world will try to tell you what to believe. The world will try to tell you how to dress. Are y'all with me? See, because it's an ordered system. It is an ordered system, the cosmos. But then my question is, who's ordering it? Who's ordering it? Well, Jesus talked about the prince of this world. And thank God for born-again believers, we are no longer under his rule. Before Jesus went to the cross in the Gospel of John, he said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has no authority over me. Hallelujah. He has no authority. He has no power. He has no jurisdiction in my life. Man, that's good news to know that born-again believers are no longer under his rule. But we understand this, that he's always working to bring a snare, to lay a trap, to get us away. Listen to this definition. This is taken from the pulpit commentary in reference to this word world, this Greek word cosmos. An ordered existence apart from God, it rapidly moves into the organized resistance to the will of God, and therefore it denotes humanity as a whole apart from God and grace. What an incredible insight into this word world, cosmos, an order, an arrangement, an ornament, an adornment. It's very, very important that you and I understand this world system that we are living in. Because this system, my friends, is a snare. And it operates upon the principle of buying and selling and stealing our resources. Let me move on because I want you to understand the next thing. See, the devil has a marketing strategy. See, now I want you to relate this to how we view money and how we handle resources, because it's very, very important that we understand this. And my friends, the devil has a marketing strategy. He does. He used it on Eve. Consider this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. God had already given the instruction, you can eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of knowledge that is in the midst of the garden, do not eat of that fruit. It was forbidden. That was the law of God. God's law says, this is the restriction. Do not do this. Don't eat of it. But then the Bible describes in Genesis 3 that Satan comes in the form of the serpent, and that he was more cunning than any beast of the field. And he then begins his marketing program. And he begins to paint a picture with a message. Think of marketing in today's world. They paint a picture and it's with a message, isn't it? Yes, it really is. Because it's working to convince you that you need this drug, you need this car, you need this credit card, right? You need this thing in your life because this is going to make you happy. That, my friends, is a marketing strategy. Now, I worked in sales for 15 years. I had a career, you know, and I worked in marketing. So I understand marketing. And we were instructed, you know, in the industry and in the beverage industry. You know, we understood how positioning was key. That you had to have the product positioned in the right place. Based upon this fact right here, is that shoppers make impulse purchases. Think about it. An impulse purchase. You see it. It looks pretty. You want it. It's going to taste good. It's got a good price. I'm going to buy it. Sometimes I'll go shopping with Becky, and we're looking at things, and I'll find products, you know, whether it's clothing or something in the grocery store or whatever it is. And if it doesn't have a price on it, you know, we were trained How can you sell it to the customer if they don't know what it costs? And boy, you better make sure you had your POS up, point of sale, your signage and your price point. You better make sure you add that up, because if you didn't, then boy, you are going to be in trouble, because that's marketing. The devil has a marketing strategy, and he used it on Eve because he tries to bring us into his snare. All right, so this is what he says. He gives all this reasoning in Genesis chapter 3. I won't visit that for time's sake today, but I want to point out what happens in verse 6, because it says, the woman saw the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Do y'all see the marketing strategy? She saw it was appealing, pleasant to the eyes. She wanted it. And then what happened? She had it. Amen? The devil's marketing strategy. The word desire means focused on, intensifying passion. That's what the word desire means. Consider this verse in the book of Titus. In the book of Titus, chapter 3. And I want you to notice this particular verse of scripture. Titus 3 and verse 3. Talking to believers. He says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. See, that, my friends, was the devil's snare. All lost people are in this snare right now. If you're a born-again child of God, you have gotten out of that snare. You have gotten out of that marketing strategy. But I want you to notice the similarity to what we read in Genesis 3, what we read here, and what we read in 1 John chapter 2, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The devil has a marketing strategy. His goal is to make us independent of God. His goal is to shift our focus. His goal is to affect our desires. His goal is to make us soul dominated rather than spirit led. Think of it. That, my friends, is his goal, to ensnare us. Let me move on to the next thing. We have to beware of covetousness. Oh, now there's something we don't hear preached a lot about. Covetousness. What does that mean? Well, look at what Jesus said in Luke's gospel, chapter 12. He said in verse 15, and this was in the parable of the rich fool. So he says this in verse 15. He says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Now think about that. Because the world system tells us, oh yes it does. Are y'all with me? The world system says, oh yes, your life does consist in what you have, in what you possess, in your money. You know, I don't watch a whole lot of TV programs per se, but this program, The Shark Tank, has become very intriguing to me. And I told Becca the other day, I said, I think I'm watching too much Shark Tank. I said, I had a dream last night. And I had a dream, and I was with Mark Cuban, and I had struck a multi-billion dollar deal with him. And I'm telling you, the dream was so real. And then I woke up, and I was like, oh, doggone it. I'm not a multi-billionaire. So I told Becky, I said, I think I must be watching too much Shark Tank. But it's a very interesting program, you know, of these money people. You know, and of course they're filthy rich, And the program, you know, brings in people that are entrepreneurs, and they have these ideas, and they have these products that they've developed, and they have these companies that they started. Some of them think they have started companies, but they are then learned by the sharks that you really don't have a company. You know, so it's and they get a little rough. It's a very intriguing program, and just to listen to some of these deals and some of these offers, it's quite amazing. But I understand that people put a lot of confidence in money, and the world system, you know, does teach us that your level of wealth, your level of income, produces a status in life. All right, but Jesus, he said that it doesn't. Do you know why? We have to go back to 1 John 2. He said that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And then he nailed it when he said, and it's passing away. He said it's only for a little while. All right, so Jesus understood that. And what did he do? He put it in perspective. Man, don't live for this world. He even said this, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? You can have all the billions of dollars in the world, but if you lose out with God, what does it mean? What does it matter? So he said right here, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the things that he possesses. See, the spirit, let's define the word covet. The word covet, it is a greedy self-centeredness with an arrogant disregard of God's law. Very interesting, because the word covet comes from the very same Greek word that the word desire comes from. So that's interesting. Comes from the very same Greek word. All right, so the spirit of covetousness is a desire for money, possessions, recognition, and other things that are rooted in our sin nature. Paul says in Colossians 3:5 that we are to put to death immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's in Colossians 3:5. That's what Paul says we must do. All right, why does he say that covetousness is idolatry? Here's the reason. Because idolatry will replace God with other things. See, we set up idols in our lives. Anything that takes the place of God is idolatry. Anything that replaces God in our lives is idolatry. Paul told Timothy, flee covetousness and fight the good fight of faith. Are y'all with me? See, we're talking about the world system. And we have to understand how it works and the power, the entity that is behind it. So let me move on to the next thing. See, because debt is the devil's snare. Proverbs 22:7, it says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Boy, what a true word. What a true word. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Here's a Dutch proverb. I love this Dutch proverb. It's hard to pay for bread that has been eaten. How true that is. It's hard to pay for bread that has been eaten. All right, let's consider debt as the devil's snare, because it's based upon the world system. Now listen, all of us here today, we're striving to be responsible and to live in excellence in these areas of our lives, right? So we're not, you know, and we understand, I mean, I'm not completely debt-free. Our church is not completely debt-free. But my friends, we are praying about it and we are striving towards it. And I believe that by God's power and God's grace, we will attain it. Hallelujah. And here's some things to consider. All right, debt being the devil's snare. All right, the average American carries $9,333 in credit card debt. The average The average American carries $9,000, over $9,000 in credit card debt. Some are carrying much more than that. The borrower is servant to the lender. Think of how that changes our concept of employment. Do we just go to work, or do we just do business because we have to pay all of our creditors? Really, isn't work, career, business, shouldn't that be viewed as an assignment from God? It's an assignment. But if we are so overloaded with debt, we lose that concept of assignment. And then it becomes, just like we quote the bumper sticker people put on their cars, I owe, so off to work I go. Is that really the purpose of work? My friends, it is not. And if that becomes the purpose of work, then we define the bondage of debt, because that's what it does. All right, consider this. Collectively, the country owes close to $1 trillion in credit card debt across the United States of America. A snare. Ecclesiastes said, there's a net laid for the fish. There's a trap laid for the birds. Proverbs 119, 110, it says that in an evil time, that the wicked, they lay a snare. We have to beware of it, my friends. We have to be smart. We have to be wise. All right, so collectively, the country owes, this is the population now that we're talking in society, $1 trillion. I mean, that is unbelievable. That is astronomical. And the average interest rate on those credit cards is 17.32%. Think of it. The snare. The devil's snare. No wonder. And if there's 57% of divorces based over money fights, think of how big of an issue this is. And my friend, it is a snare that we need to beware of. You remember the Lord's Prayer? We know the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, right? And our credit cards too. Amen. Forgive us our debts and the interest we pay. Well, we know he wasn't talking about that, right? He was talking about the debt of sin. Amen. We understand that. But I think it's got a nice application to what we're talking about here. Forgive us our debts and our credit cards too. Consider this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. He says they promised them freedom. He's talking about the people of the world, the wicked world in which we live. I love Galatians 1:4. Galatians 1:4 says that God gave us his son, Jesus Christ, that he might deliver us from this present evil, wicked world. Hallelujah. We are living in an evil and wicked world. And the devil is controlling it because it's the cosmos. An ordered arrangement, an ordered system. See, the system is designed to have us constantly in debt. The system is designed to have us constantly buying this and buying that. And we have to be smarter and we have to be wiser. And we have to go to the principles and precepts of the Word of God, because there's a snare that is laid. I don't want to get into that pit. Amen. I don't want to get into that pit. Consider what he says here. So they promised them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. Look at this. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. Wow. There again, that illustrates what we read in Proverbs, that the borrower is servant to the lender. Have you ever had phone calls from creditors? I don't get those. I keep my numbers changed. No, not really. No. There's a simple reason to not get calls from creditors. Just pay the bills. If you pay the bill, they don't care how much you owe. You just keep. They don't care. As long as you make a minimum payment, they don't care. They'll keep that thing. You won't hear from them. But, oh, miss one payment for more than 30 days, and they'll be calling you. On that car, they'll be calling you. We want to know. We haven't received a payment. Is there a problem? because they will come get it. People are slaves to whatever has mastered them. Debt, my friend, is the devil's snare. I think that we should be smarter. We need to learn what God's word says. We need to live by it. See, I don't ever want to get in debt where I can't honor God. I want to always be able to honor God and to honor the work of God. Amen? I want my money to be directed with a purpose. See, here's the thing. Debt tells your money where to go. If you don't have debt, then you tell your money where to go. How many of you know there's a big, big difference? Amen? There's a big difference. And like the Dutch proverb, you know, that we just read, it's hard to pay for bread that has been eaten. You know, that's the thing, man. You know, you are mortgaging, when you and I get into debt, we are mortgaging future income. That's what we're doing. The world system is set up to always have us doing that. That's why I don't want to live by that system. I don't want to live in that snare. All right, so here's the last and final thing that we must understand. See, lifestyle change will bring peace and prosperity. We have to change. We have to change our lives, our lifestyle. We have to change our view on money and resources and possessions. And if I'm going to go out and buy something that costs, you know, an exorbitant amount of money, I must ask myself the question, who am I trying to impress? Because a lot of people are simply trying to impress people. So they think they got to live in a certain neighborhood. They got to have a certain car. You know, who am I trying to impress? You know, so again, it goes back to 1 John chapter 2. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Hallelujah. So there must be lifestyle change. I must change how I view money. I must change my purchasing habits. I must change. I must always ask myself. One thing that I learned from Mr. Wonderful on the Shark Tank, he gave this little, I guess it was like a little commercial for the program, and he said, this is how I view money. He said, every time I go to buy something, he said, I ask myself this question, do I really need this? He said, if I don't, he said, then I don't buy it. And he said, I take that money and invest it. And he said, and it's working for me tremendously. That's good advice. You know, that's really good advice. You know, so lifestyle change will bring peace and prosperity. Look at what this says in Psalms 128. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, there's the prosperity. The labor of your hands. You shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Hallelujah. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. Happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Then he goes on and he says that even in the context of the home, says the wife is going to be like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house. Y'all see that in verse 3? Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house. Your children will be like olive plants round about your table. You have to say, shoo, shoo. He says, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord. Hallelujah. And then in verse 6, he says, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Lifestyle change will bring peace and prosperity. I have to change how I view money. I have to change how I see debt. I have to always ask myself that question. Is this something that I really need? You know, and if it's not, then reconsider your purpose. Now, is that saying that we shouldn't enjoy life? Well, no, the Bible says that God gives us all things freely to enjoy. Amen? But I believe what he is teaching us is that it is much wiser and much smarter to operate on a cash basis rather than on a credit basis. When we went to purchase these two pieces of land, And we had the local title company handled the transactions for us. And, you know, we signed lease to purchase agreement on both of them. And when we went to buy those properties, and we sat down with an attorney and a couple of paralegals, and we did that transaction, and I'm telling you, that was with the owner and those people associated with the title company. And we were in and out of there in a matter of minutes. And when it was done, I was like, so that's it? He said, that's it. He said, the property is yours. This will be filed in the courthouse and et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, it just made me think, man, when you buy a house and you have to mortgage, you know, you get a mortgage on it, there's a stack of papers about this thick. And you're in there signing and signing. And they're telling you what each one is, and you're like, okay, yeah. You have no idea really what you're signing. You're just kind of following their directive. You know, well, this is for this and this is for that. Yeah, okay. And you're signing and signing. And it takes a long time. But I made a comment. I was like, man, this was fast. And the attorney said, cash makes everything simple and quick. That stuck with me. Cash makes everything simple and quick. Hallelujah. So I all of a sudden I got the revelation. We just need more cash. Amen. We just need more cash. I mean, that's how it works. Hallelujah. So lifestyle change will bring peace and prosperity.